Trevor Soltan, excuse me, talked to us after 7:30 about the draw or the fixture and Hawthorn star Isaac Smith out of 8 o'clock. 1300 736 736. Let's throw lines open. You can ask us a question about the draw, how it affects your team, what your issues are. If you want us to ask Travis anything in particular, I know some Kilda fans out there, including Jan, want to know why the Saints are the only team not to have a free-to-air game scheduled in the first four rounds. So we'll put that to Travis for you, Jan. But any of the other club supporters who want to just ring in and ask about their draw or make comment, then do so. 1300 736 736. Thanks to Kia, conversation starter with Australia's best seven-year factory warranty. Where do you want to start, Whispers?
I want to start right here. I don't think there's a lot of love for the Demons in this first 4 weeks either. You've got three 3:30 Sunday afternoon games and one 4:30 Saturday afternoon game. No prime time for Melbourne. Are you a little bit miffed about that?
No, I'm not. I'm more interested and concerned about what the win-loss record will be at the end of those five rounds as opposed to whether they're in prime time. And that's a supporter and not a someone that has to worry about the dollars coming in and out of the football club speaking. They're winnable games. They're winnable against Carlton. It's winnable against Essendon. The Cats at MCG at home is a challenge, and Sydney at the SCG away should be competitive. So they could potentially win all of those games. I would be very concerned if they only were to win one or none. Then that would be a worry.
Did Travis, I know he's going to join us a little bit later. We can ask this question of him directly. But he did say yesterday in the press conference grab that it is about sides playing an attractive brand of football and being watchable as to where they may be scheduled and fixtured to play. So
100%.
Does that then say to us that Melbourne, the AFL and the broadcasters don't think right now that Melbourne play an attractive brand of football and are a team that people want to watch play?
Yeah, I put this to Trav last night. He was on with us on Fox Footy. You've got to earn your way into those blockbusters, and maybe St Kilda, who gave up a lead against the Kangaroos in round one and lost, maybe they're paying the price for that. Melbourne, who were pretty poor against West Coast, maybe they're paying the price for that. He unashamedly said you've got to have to win your way into those bigger Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night time slots. So the Western Bulldogs would want to show something. They've got round two on a Sunday at 6 o'clock. That's a new slot that's being looked at. The Sunday, and we'll talk to Trav, having back-to-back games on a Sunday, fantastic. Fantastic for Fox, by the way, which is just by the by. They got the Giants on Friday night. They've got a Sydney Swans on a Thursday night. And they got a Saturday night. So the Dogs, who were just, I think, the most disappointing team in round one, the faith has been retained in them from the fixture people, but they'd want to prove it after those four games or they might find themselves in the graveyard slots.
And the graveyard slots are?
Well, the Saturday twilight kind of thing, you know. Anything that's not prime time, Wisp. The daytime slots, which people love, but I'm talking from a commercial reality, it's Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and maybe Sunday night. A winnable against Carlton, Gary, you're dreaming. Paddy Cripps is coming for Clayton Oliver. He'll eat him alive. Luke from Hawthorn. Good on you, Lukey. That's the passion I love, mate. Good boy.
Hey, the Hawks have got a tough start, too. They've got that Geelong down at GMHBA. Then they've got Richmond. Then they've got North Melbourne. And then they've got to go up to Sydney to play against GWS as well. So that's a pretty tough little month that they've got ahead of them.
It's one of the hardest. I've got a summary in front of me done by Maxie Boy at Fox. One of the hardest first phase fixtures, three away games and all of them against teams who either won in round one or are expected to challenge for the finals. But the pros are the Hawks looked very good in round one. They come out of this patch of games with a winning record. They'll have to be considered top four. Sponsors will be happy with plenty of prime time exposure for the Hawks. So there you go. That's the summation of the Hawks. Do you want me to give you Essendon?
No, I want you to give me Port Adelaide first because I've looked at their draw, right? So they go into the hub and they're going to play Fremantle Eagles. You'd take that, would you not? If you went into a hub, you'd want to go in somewhere in neutral territory and play Fremantle and Eagles at Metricon Stadium as opposed to having to even fly from Adelaide to Perth to play them. I mean, that's a reasonable deal given I know they have to go over there in, you know, spend time in the hub. But in terms of the draw, I think that comes out nicely for them.
Yeah, they get to host the only showdown for the season, which is great for the financial aspect. Gives them an extra week at home. They play the last game of the weekend in round three, which means they get extra time to get used to playing up there on the Gold Coast. And they don't have to travel to Western Australia or Queensland again this year, unless it's for a final. So that is that's a nice pro. The con is having to host West Coast in Queensland isn't ideal, though every hub side has at least one home game scheduled for their time up there. So not bad, not bad for Port Adelaide. Speck, he's on the road. G'day, Speck.
Yeah, g'day, Gaz. G'day, Watto. I'm a bit surprised because you know how Gary thinks he's this expert on human affairs.
On human affairs?
Yeah.
Yep.
Just
go on.
In regards to human behaviour.
yes.
Wispy, I'm sure you'd agree with me that looking at the draw, people's lives are going to change. And Saturday afternoon, I think a lot of people will be basically sitting down. They've mowed the lawns, they've done their chores around the farm, and everyone will be sitting down on a Saturday afternoon, getting ready for the twilight game. Wouldn't you agree, Wispy?
Yeah, well, that's a very interesting point that you raise, Specky. So what you're saying is that actually could become a prime time show. A prime time spot on the fixture.
I couldn't agree with you more, Wispy. You are a smart man.
He couldn't agree with you more because he's saying exactly what you said, Specky.
Well, I think that Specky's onto something, Gary. I think should have been onto that.
I could give you the advertising rates for the various time slots, if you like, Wispy, and that'll tell you exactly how they are looked upon as whether they're prime time or not.
Yeah, but they will shift if that's the case.
They may.
After a week and they look at the ratings for those games that have been on at that time slot, as Specky so correctly outlines there, it may be that all of a sudden people look at that and say, well, people aren't going and playing country football. They're not playing suburban football. That hasn't restarted. People's habits have shifted. So maybe that is a great time slot for Melbourne and other teams, the 3:30 and the 4:30 game.
And if that's the case, then that would need to be reflected in the games that they schedule for those slots, Tim. Because
that's right, but they haven't. So this will be a trial. They'll stand back and they'll have a look and they'll say, hang on a minute, hang on a goddamn minute. This is a really good time slot and people love playing at that time. Well, people love sitting down and watching the football at that time.
Specky. You're in the running for the caller of the week, mate. And the magnificent Toyota Kluger could be yours. You could drive away in that because you make some good points. And we'll see. After 4 weeks, it may change. It may very well change. Different times, no crowds. Geelong having a win just paid off. That's from the Speckle text. Well, the Cats are going to get home games in Geelong, which is fantastic for them. I have no issue with that whatsoever. They've hard to complain at all. If you're the Cats, three games at GMHBA in the first month, with reports they're going to play all their home games here, will be a big boost to their finals chances. The con, if things go bad and they lose to the Hawks and maybe even get upset by the Blues and or Suns, there'll be no room for excuses. So I'm not sure about the cons there. So, yep, very nice for the Cats.
You're a lot smarter than me when it comes to most things, but in particular about spacing out there on the ground. Geelong's three of their first four, GMHBA, as you quite rightly state. Hawthorn and Carlton, they play down there. They don't normally play either of those teams at GMHBA Stadium. For those clubs that are going down there, those teams that are playing there that haven't played there in a long time, what is it about that ground and the spacing of that ground that is peculiar to that ground?
No,
that
it's
players
narrower.
Will have difficulty adjusting to.
It's much narrower, which is evidenced by the number of times players kick the ball out of bounds on the full when they play down there at Geelong. Yeah. And the wind must come into it as well, because surely they can't be that stupid that they just look at it and go, gee, it's a bit narrower. And then you're up against the fact that the team who train there, who know the game ground intimately. So you've got your own challenges with size and perhaps wind, and then it's exacerbated by the fact that the team you're playing against knows it intimately inside and out.
It's real, though, isn't it? Like, I hear people say, oh, it's no advantage, you know, to Geelong to play that ground. You know, they go down there, it's grass, it's a, you know, oval, there's sticks at both ends of the ground. But as a player, when you go to a ground, like you play on your own ground or you go and play somewhere else, there are just those subtle differences about the spacing between the lines and where you run and where you don't run and the familiarity around grounds that you play a lot on and you don't play on. It's real, isn't it?
Of course it is. And where you attack, you know, how you attack and which side of the ground you go forward from. I mean, you can work it out through the course of a game, but by the time you've worked it out, the opposition might be five goals ahead because they know exactly what's going on. So, no, it is absolutely real, and it is a very big advantage. And one of the headlines I read here from on the Fox Sports website was that Geelong went from... I'm trying to find it. The Cats have gone from top eight hopefuls to genuine AFL flag contenders in one day.
Is that right?
That's how some people have perceived the draw and the advantages that it may be giving them. So it might be Kingy and Geordie Lewis that had a look at it. So there you go. You make of it what you will. It is. Nick Dalsano says it's a unique ground. Every time I still go down there, having played there, you think, geez, what is it about this ground that makes it so difficult and why are the Cats so good here? So, and that's the most recently retired player. So there you go. It's
and
big tick.
And according to somewhere, Carlton played at Geelong very recently towards the end of last year. Hey, you had Ken Hinckley, just quickly, you had Ken Hinckley on your program last night, your little program on Fox last night. What did he have to say about Ollie Wines?
Well, I specifically asked him a question about Ollie Wines for you, Tim, and here is what he had to say.
Look, all the noise, don't even believe half of the stuff that you read, obviously, and listen to the people who know. And I think the key message for me is, those who don't know, you know, they're unaware and uninformed, and I don't think you should comment too much on that. Ollie's been a part of the furniture here since I've been here. He enjoys it. He loves it. You know, he understood the decision as a club for the captaincy stuff. He embraces that. He's in behind Tom Jonas amazingly well, and he'll have a great season.
Well, the only thing he didn't say then was Tim Watson, because you led the charge. You broke the story on this that Ollie had spoken to... Carlton, was it? Or Ollie's people? So virtually that was, I asked that and he directed that right at you. What say you?
I say that he and I have a difference of opinion about the Ollie Wine situation. That's what I say. I don't want to get into any of those slangy matches with Ken Hinckley, okay? But I'm just saying.
You said his people sought out Carlton.
They did, and they spoke to Essendon as well. And I've spoken to those people, and he would know that. And but he's doing what you'd expect.
Would Ken not know what you know?
Ken is doing what you'd expect him to do under the circumstances, and just put that story to bed and play it down as much as he possibly
but
can.
But you, when I ask you the question, you take it out of bed and stand it up straight in the lounge room every time. Mm.
No, I tell you what I'm doing. I'm wrapping it up on the flannelette sheets and the nice doona, and I'm putting it back to bed, okay?
No, you're not. I refuse to let you put it back to bed.
I'm refusing to be clickbait Tim today. That's what I'm refusing.
You're waiting for Gus Gould to have a go back at you. Tony's in Craigieburn. G'day, Tone.
Oh, g'day, boys. How are you going this morning?
Good, thank you.
First off, what a mighty town Craigieburn is, but I'll talk to you about that later on. Yeah. Yeah, with the Cats' advantage, is it an advantage, Joe? Because when they come to the G to play the real finals, they always come unstuck. So is it really an advantage having all those home games?
Well, I was of that opinion a bit, Tony, over the last few years, but their record last year at the MCG was outstanding. And they had big wins against big clubs, and they led Richmond by five or six goals in that prelim final. So... I think they answered the question about the MCG, to be perfectly honest. I know they haven't got the ultimate since Chris Scott won it first up, but I was of your opinion. I thought it was holding them back a touch, but I think their form last year at the MCG probably, to use Tim's turn of phrase, put it to bed. But thanks for your call. You're in the running for caller of the week as well. What, Tim?
Well, Tony was going to talk about Craigieburn.
Oh, sorry, Tony. Give Craigieburn now. Be good to the hood suburb. What's the best part of Craigieburn?
Oh well, where do I start? The best pizza is Lagafino in Craigieburn. If everyone wants to have a nice pizza, go to Lagafino. Best fish and chip shop is Sharky's. Yeah. What else we got? Best coffee shop. When I was going to, best pub is the Craigieburn Sports Club.
Nice.
Hey, even home deliver at the moment.
You got it all there, Tone. It sounds like you're well set up there, and you're going to have footy to be watching the next couple of weeks. So thanks for your call there. Let me just see where I'm up to here. Melbourne Airport parking. That's who we need to acknowledge. Wispy, zero-cost drive-up parking for all essential travel until the 30th of June. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. Keep your calls coming through. Keep your texts coming through. Travis Olds, not too far away.